Welcome to Black at School, the USC Race and Equity Center's series on addressing racial problems that disadvantage Black students across America. Black at School offers parents and families language, tools, and strategies to disrupt racism and racial inequalities in classrooms, in curriculum, and in their children's interactions with peers and educators. In this episode, Jessica DeQuire-Gunby, the Robert Naslin Professor in the Rossier School of Education at the University of Southern California, offers guidance on how to protect Black students, Black pride, and Black identities in anti-Black school settings. Dr. DeQuire-Gunby is president of the American Psychological Association's Educational Psychology Division and the mother of a Black teenage son. Her four books include Race and Ethnicity in the Study of Motivation and Education. Let's hear now from Professor DeQuire-Gunby.
I have been studying racial identity for over 25 years. And, you know, what I mean by racial identity is generally how you feel about yourself as a Black person, you know, in terms of Black, your sense of Black pride, and also how you feel about the Black community and being a part of that community. So today I am going to share strategies or my thoughts about, you know, what's based upon the research literature, particularly the racial identity research literature, my own particular research, and my experience as a mother of a Black boy. But, you know, I want to kind of start off with a quick story. And it's something that's probably going to resonate with a lot of you. My son's preschool wasn't very, very racially diverse. And I know this is something that probably a lot of you are familiar with, putting your kids in schools that aren't very racially diverse. But when he started school at 3 years old, you know, in a three-year-old class grade area, there was only one other Black boy in his age group. He was in a different class. But they were in the same age group. And this particular boy had been in the school for a few months before my son. So they had gotten to know this other little boy, at least for three or so months before my son even joined. But during my son's first week of school, we learned that the teachers could not differentiate between my son and this other boy. And so, but, you know, the well-meaning white teachers, you know, really felt it was just an innocent mistake. You know, we can, you know, tell your son from this other boy, you know, they look just alike, you know. Of course, I was furious. My husband was furious. But how could they not take the time to learn their names? The two Black boys that were in the age groups. Now, mind you, there weren't a lot of Black children at all, you know, in the whole third grade classes. So it wasn't like, you know, we're talking about a ton of Black girls. There might maybe like four, you know, five Black girls. So it wasn't a lot of Black children at all. But why weren't their identities as Black boys important? Why weren't the identities of the Black children important as whole? So we learned a powerful lesson during that first week of school. It was my child's first week of school ever. And that it's truly up to us as parents to advocate for our children. And advocating for our kids is necessary to make sure they survive in these anti-Black school settings. But what's most frustrating for me is that I had to begin this fight when my son was three. He was three, you know, so I'm known as three that I had to fight for people to recognize his independent identity and that all Black kids aren't the same and that, you know, Black kids are different. And it's important to learn Black kids' names. What's so hard about learning Black kids' names? And I am still fighting that fight now that my son is 15 and a sophomore in high school. And I know I have several years more of fighting to go. And so I know that many of you and most of you have been addressing the same anti-Blackness in your children's schools since day one as well. And so today I will provide you with strategies to help protect your child's sense of Black pride and racial identity, both inside and outside of school. And so I have 10 strategies that I will share today. Five are related to your personal relationships with your children, and five will focus more on your child's, you know, what's going on with your child's schools. And when I say school, I want you to think of broadly in terms of traditional and non-traditional learning spaces. But let me begin with your personal relationship with your child. So number one, explicitly challenge the negative messages your child hears in society, in schools, regarding who they are as Black people. Our children hear anti-Black messages every day around them. And so because they hear so, you know, whether it's on the media, social media, you know, in school, you know, just everywhere. And so we need to balance those negative messages with positive messages. And it needs to be explicit. You can't, don't assume that your children, you know, just, you know how you feel about them. You need to tell them. So tell them they are worthy. Tell them that they are important. Tell them that they are beautiful. So for example, affirmations have been shown to help counter the negative messages that Black children hear in the world and reinforce their value. And there's even been some research that's shown that, you know, if children hear some positive affirmations about their intellectual ability before they take exams, they actually do better on those exams. So give your kids those positive messages, and it's going to help to tune out some of those negative messages that they hear. My husband tells my son each and every day, in some way, he calls him my smart, loving, handsome boy. And how was school today, my smart, loving, handsome boy? And so my son knows that he's smart, he's intelligent. And we know that, you know, we know that he's a caring boy because we call him loving. And he knows that he's handsome. So we see that he's beautiful. And you need to tell your children that. And that is going to really help them to address the anti-Black messages that they're going to feel in school, but not just in school, but just in society as a whole. Number two, let your child know that all Black is beautiful and that all Black hair is beautiful. As a community, we struggle with colorism. You know, what I mean by colorism, I mean by, you know, we talk about preferences regarding skin tone. You know, we still have that, you know, a lot of preferences for light skin versus the whole light skin, dark skin debate. And we also have preferences for certain types of hair texture. But it's important, you know, to have these conversations to your kids about the importance that all Black is beautiful, all Black hair is beautiful. And you can have these conversations when your kids are young, when they start asking the questions about skin tone issues and hair differences. We had this conversation with our son when he was around six, when he was at the YMCA, and he came home, asking about his skin color and didn't like his skin color. And so we didn't know when our son was going to start asking about skin tone and maybe, you know, had some concern about his skin color, but we didn't think it was going to start at 6 years old, but it did. And we had to have that conversation. So making sure you as parents need to make sure your kids know that all Black is beautiful. And all Black hair is beautiful, whether it's curly, coily, whether you have 3A or all the way to 4C, is all beautiful. And children need to internalize the messages that Black beauty starting at this early age, because, you know, that there's so many messages that we see on television and in social media that says that, you know, Black isn't beautiful and what's traditionally Black is not beautiful. The Crown Act, the Create a Respectful and Open World for Natural Hair Act, was created in 2019 to protect against the discrimination of natural hair. And you do realize that many states and municipalities have yet to even pass this particular act. But we still see children everywhere across the country being punished because of their hair. I don't know if you watch, many of you to watch the news, but look what recently happened in Texas, where a judge ruled that it was okay to punish a Black boy for wearing long locks. But since the Texas Crown Act doesn't explicitly discuss hair length, just hairstyles. But since when, you know, we say, you know, it's okay to protect, you know, braids, since when do we talk about braids and locks and not talk about length? You know, so there's still, I mean, so even though the Crown Act is in place, they're still finding ways around it to discriminate against our children because of their hair. So hair is important, you know, and to come who we are as Black people. So make sure your children understand that Black, you know, Black skin is beautiful. Black hair is beautiful. Number three, help your child to become critical consumers of media and social media. I know y'all aware of this, but, you know, racism doesn't just live in just the real world. Racism also lives in the virtual world. So social media racism is alive and well. And so we, and Black people are some of the biggest consumers of social media. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, racism on social media has a profound effect on children's health. And so as parents, you know, you have to, you know, make sure you are monitoring what your children see on social media. You just can't assume they're just kind of, you know, scrolling online and what they're seeing is very innocent. I mean, they could be very much damaging kind of who they are and their sense of self. So it's important for you to monitor. And it's also important for you to help them to critique some things they see. So maybe limit their social media intake, help to kind of even push back when they even start engaging in social media. I know kids want to engage in social media early because everything is all about technology now. But the longer you can kind of keep your kids from starting, the better. Number four, make sure your child is involved in Black-oriented activities outside of school. Schools can't and won't provide everything your child needs. We have this kind of belief that, you know, they're in school from 8 to 3, that, you know, teachers are going to give them all these different things. You know, teachers, we expect teachers to do too much. There are some more things teachers probably can do, but there are a lot of things we expect teachers to do, but they just can't do. And they're not supposed to do. They don't have the time to do all the means. And so parents, remember, you are the kids, you are your children's first teachers. And so it's your responsibility to supplement their learning at school. So it's important for you to find culturally relevant activities for your child to do that are Black oriented. You know, all across the country, there are a lot of really good activities your kids can get engaged in. And a lot of them aren't very expensive. Many of them are free. For instance, there are art exhibits, culture fairs, and music festivals. The public library has to be one of the best resources ever. And librarians are just national treasures because they are there willing to help you find all sorts of resources. The librarians can help you even put on events at libraries that will focus on Black issues. And so use that as a resource. Provide readings and books and activities at your home. Expose your child to Black history. So remember, you're your child's first teacher. So that's a lot that you can actually do to provide for them so they have that exposure. And number five is probably one of the most serious pieces of information I want to provide. If your child is showing signs of racial trauma or depression or anxiety, do not be afraid to get help from a mental health professional. The stakes are dire. I want to read something for you all. Please listen to me because it's very serious. Suicide rates are on the rise for Black youth. Black youth are twice as likely to die by suicide than their white peers. I'm going to repeat that. Suicide rates are on the rise for Black youth. Black youth are twice as likely to die by suicide than their white peers. And most of you probably didn't know that. That's because, you know, most of the time in the media, when they talk about suicide, or, you know, self-mutilation or any of those kind of things, they mostly talk about with white kids as if our Black children aren't engaging in these activities. The truth is, Black kids are committing suicide at some of the larger rates, but yet we don't call attention to it. The media is not paying attention to it. The health field isn't paying that much attention to it. So we need you as parents to pay attention to it. Black youth experience racial discrimination are 3 times more likely to experience suicidal thoughts, make suicide plans, and attempt suicide than those who do not. And so because our kids are on social media all the time, you know, they're, you know, getting all these really negative racial messages, our kids are being exposed to a lot of things. I'm not at all saying that, you know, because your kids are going to experience racism, you know, that's going to lead to suicide. I am not saying that. But what I am saying that, you know, with a lot of, you know, exposure to racial trauma, and, you know, and a lot of different aspects, our kids can, you know, become, you know, really mentally and emotionally unhealthy. And it's really important for you as parents to know the signs and be able to pay attention and be willing to take them to mental health professionals. But if we listen to the media, they will have us thinking that our children don't engage in those things, and they will have us missing all the signs. Pay attention to what's going on with your children, and do know that experiencing racism and being in these anti-Black environments can have a serious impact on your children. Okay, number six, and the ones I'm going to go into are going to be more focused on what's going on in your kid's school. So number six, so what can we do in your school? Number six, become knowledgeable of the curriculum. What I mean by that, what the children are supposed to learn or not learn, as well as your state and district policies. So knowing the teaching standards in your state district policy regarding specific subjects, and all these are available online. And it's really important for you to know what they're supposed to learn and what's, you know, what they're not supposed to learn. Because, you know, for instance, like states like Florida are passing laws about what teachers can and cannot teach in the classroom. And then there are certain states that, you know, maybe don't necessarily have those particular laws. Then there are some states where teachers, although their standards may say, have a certain list of things that they can, you know, and generally teach about, but yet in certain districts, the district wants all the teachers to be on the same page and teach certain topics on the same day. And so teachers don't have a lot of flexibility in what and how they can teach. So it's really important for you to understand the rules and the guidelines of how things are implemented in your school district, in your school, and even in your own teacher's classroom. And once you kind of know that, then you can kind of know how you can go about maybe asking the teacher asking the teacher to add culturally relevant readings and activities. Because, you know, it's one way to, you know, it's one thing to be upset that, you know, hey, my teacher's not adding these things. It's another thing to know that the teacher may have wanted to add those things, but she may not have been able to because of the policies of her district or the policies of her particular school. So if you are able to ask the teacher to add culturally relevant readings and activities, make sure that, you know, for what you can tell, that they are aligned with the teaching standards and policies. And that way, you know, they're not rejected. But however, if you ask the teacher to add something, be prepared to make suggestions for what the teacher should add. So if you say, hey, you know, it's Black History Month, you should be teaching, you know, some things about, you know, more Black people. And then the teacher said, okay, like what? Maybe have some suggestions in terms of what particular topics. Like if you said, well, I'm tired of you always talking about Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. And then the teacher said, well, who do you want us to talk about then? Then maybe have a list of who you think you should talk about. So just be prepared to kind of make some suggestions. Or if she said, well, you know, I'm not that, you know, knowledgeable about that area, would you be willing to work with me? Then say yes, be willing to work with the teacher. So remember, there's a partnership between teachers and parents. You know, it's not an adversarial relationship. It's a partnership, and, you know, and be willing to work with the teacher. And most teachers are be really good with working with you to figure out best ways to kind of support children in their learning. So be willing to ask, but make sure you do the homework before. And number seven, be visible at your child's school. Your child needs to see you there. But other children need to see Black faces there, because there's always the stereotypes that Black parents don't care about their children's education, and Black parents don't think it's important to be at their kids' schools. And so teachers, other children need to see Black faces on campus doing stuff. And when I say stuff, a lot of stuff. So volunteer at your child's school, not just about Black History Month either, not just about the Black stuff. So volunteer for activities that are not race related. Like we come there for career day and you know, volunteer for the field trips, or like be on the booster club, do things that are help to disrupt the stereotypes. Okay, number eight, create Black oriented opportunities at your child's school. Volunteer to serve as a leader for the Black Affinity Leader Group. So, you know, is there a Black Parent Association group? Become involved. If there isn't one, help create one. If they're not doing that, help create trips for cultural events, help to maybe do an HBCU tour, help to change the culture of the school. Again, this is a partnership between teachers and parents. And if you, you know, and if you look at it that way, you know, it'll be easier to kind of make suggestions at school. And number nine, demand the change that you need and want for your child's school. If you don't see what you want and need, you need to make your voices heard. I think this is one of the biggest ones that I think that bad Black parents just do not utilize enough. We get angry, but we don't show up enough. We need to show up at school board meetings in mass numbers and voice our opinions about what's going on. I know every Black parent I talk to are just livid about all these anti-DEI, anti-critical race theory, you know, all this stuff going on that's going on across the country. But yet, we're not showing up at school boards to make that known. So we need to show up, and we need to show up consistently like the other side does. So we need to be at those school board meetings because they listen to the people that show up. But unfortunately, we're not showing up. And so that's what we need to do that. We also need to volunteer for our school governance. We need school office for, now we have, you know, we're looking for parents to serve on this committee. Serve on those committees, you know, serve on the PTA, you know, because when you get on the PTA, you get involved, you get to know who all the players are, and it's those power positions. If your child goes to a charter school, see if you can get on the board of directors. Or if your child's at a private school, try to get on those board of directors. It's about those places of power that you can help to change policies. It's policies that help to create those the structures where we create anti-Blackness and impact your children. And then run for school board. That's a big, you know, big one. I know that's a big issue. Now everybody's not going to run for office, but eventually we need to get like-minded people in there. The people who are against DEI, they have plans to put their people on school boards all over the country. That's their plan. And they've been doing that. They have been doing that for decades, getting their people on school boards. And they make a lot of changes that sometimes takes decades to overturn. So we need to make sure we're getting ourselves in these positions of power. Okay. And then my last suggestion for you all, don't be afraid to make changes for your child if it's necessary. If your child is, you know, if you've done all you can do, you went to the, you know, if you've advocated, you've talked to the principal, I mean, you've done all the things you feel you can do, you've just kind of at your wit's end. If your child's not getting educated to your satisfaction, don't be afraid to make changes. You can ask to switch teachers. I mean, you know, if you're in teacher A's class, but you can see teacher B seems to be more receptive and doing better things, you can ask to put your child in teacher B's class. Or if, you know, your child doesn't have to suffer in the classroom of a teacher who's not meeting his or her needs. Or, you know, you may choose a whole other school. I recently moved from North Carolina to California, and my son started at one school in ninth grade, and then we moved him to another school in 10th grade. And you know what? It was you know, a lot of transition for him, but it was better for him for a lot of the reason, because he wasn't getting everything he need at the other school. So sometimes you have to consider other school, and a different school may be a better fit for your child. The principal may be different. The school structure may be different. And then you also may want to consider different types of school, public charter, homeschool. You know, there are various different types of school. And so that could really help you. That could really help your child and really make a difference for him or her. So, you know, overall, I mean, there are a lot of different things you can do to really support your child and support their sense of racial identity. In these anti-Black school settings. And the biggest one, of course, is loving your child, letting them know, you know, that they are important, letting them know that being Black is there's the whole say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, but black is beautiful. And ingraining that in them at an early age. And then over time, just make sure you're constantly repeating that. And so they know, each and every day, they know that and they believe that and they feel that, because they're going to need that armoring for them. And remember, it is essential for you to help play that role. It's important for you to be that active role in helping protect your child and helping them develop that sense of racial pride, because that's the only way that's going to support them in these anti-Black environments.